Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I know you tuned into the show because the Browns have just won back-to-back games. They're 4-6, and the Steelers fall to 5-5. I know that's why you tuned in. Ha! My boss would call me up on the bat phone if I spent the rest of the show talking about the outcome of this game. And I thought it was interesting that Ray Fittipaldi, who joined us from Cleveland, said nobody in the locker rooms was talking about the actual game, even though this should be potentially a turning point for the Cleveland Browns. Freddie Kitchens says after the fact that Myles Garrett's actions are inexcusable and that it mars what is the biggest win for the Steelers, for the Browns in a long time. But he gives no excuses for Garrett's actions, which I appreciate. Are there other guys in this brawl, in this melee, that should have to answer for their actions? Absolutely. Myles Garrett, front of the line. So we've got a poll up. Producer Chris put a poll up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, giving you a few options for length of suspension for Myles Garrett. And if you want, you can reply to the tweet and write your suspension length for Marquise Pouncey or anybody else you think should be suspended. I wouldn't be surprised if Mason Rudolph got fined as well. I was thinking back to Albert Haynesworth. Do you guys remember when he stomped on Andre Girard's head and face in 2006? That was Titans Cowboys in 2006. And he received a 5-game suspension. And at that time, it was unprecedented in the NFL. That length of suspension for something that happened on the field of play in terms of one player going after another. Should Myles Garrett receive something similar? Shorter? Longer? He does have a history of nasty hits and has been fined already because of excessive hits to quarterbacks. But this is something completely different. He lost control. And he says the same after the game. This is on me. I embarrassed myself. I embarrassed my team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Baker Mayfield did an on-field interview with Aaron Andrews right after the game, and I saw that. Now, I was busy watching the video over and over, and so I heard it quickly, but I haven't gone back to listen to it again. We didn't pull it. But he called Myles Garrett's actions inexcusable and said that he should be suspended. After the game, though, it was interesting how he got a bit defiant. Not so much for Myles Garrett, but just what the rhetoric will be around the Browns right now.
This locker room is going to have to come together because this is going to be a soap opera on the outside, much like the media has portrayed us to be from the whole season. So we have to be a disciplined team. We have to address it. We have to handle it. We have to come together, and we have to play football. That's our job, is play football, show up every day and do that. That's plain and simple. And like Freddie said, instead of addressing the things of Joe Schobert has 2 interceptions, Morgan Burnett, that's the sad part about it, is our defense played lights out. Myles played a great game up until that point.
The soap opera, like the media has portrayed us to be. I mean, the media didn't cut Antonio Callaway. The media isn't the reason why the Cleveland Browns had 2 wins until 2 weeks ago. I actually appreciated his pregame conversation with Aaron on Fox and taking responsibility for how poorly they've played and how poorly he's played. But the soap opera created by the media, nah. I mean, there's a reason why no one's looking at the New England Patriots and calling them a soap opera, except for their 11 days with Antonio Brown. So, because this kind of stuff doesn't happen with a lot of other organizations. Now, is the organization responsible for Myles Garrett's choices in that moment? No. But for there to be any other narrative besides Myles Garrett just ruined a really good win for us, I don't think that there is one that's even plausible. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Jonathan says on Twitter, I'm from Cleveland and I'm embarrassed. Myles Garrett should be suspended for the remainder of the season at a minimum. There is no excuse for what he did. Matthew says Antonio Smith received a 3-game suspension for ripping off Richie Incognito's helmet and hitting him with it in 2013. I would say at least 4 games. David says, let's see how it plays out. I'm hearing Mason Rudolph kicked Myles Garrett in the groin. He obviously tried to rip Myles' helmet off first. And then there's a dot, dot, dot. As though the NFL is going to not discipline Myles Garrett because he may have been kicked in the groin. I mean, Myles Garrett wouldn't get off of Mason Rudolph. If it's me, I'd probably kick him too. Get off me, man. We see that all the time in sports. Also, I'm sure you guys know that in scrumbles in the NFL, groins very often get kicked and grabbed and clutched and squeezed and punched and all types of things. Mason Rudolph, I could see him getting a fine. Suspended, no way. Garrett had wrestled him to the ground and wouldn't let him get up. And when he wouldn't let him get up, he started pulling at Garrett's helmet. And then Garrett grabs him by the face mask and is jerking his head forward when David DeCastro comes in. And then around DeCastro, that's when he slams Mason on the head. I feel like I could be a kindergarten teacher. Two wrongs don't make a right. 855-212-4227. Eric is listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Hey, first of all, I think that everybody should be suspended, including Mason Rudolph. I think he's a mouthy punk, and he was running his mouth the whole game. I believe that there's a history with the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you look back on a lot of these events that happen, they are involved, and they are the instigators. Much like back when Ryan Shazier instigated the event in Cincinnati where everybody was all upset about Montez Perfect because gave a shoulder shrug to Antonio Brown, who flopped like he got hit by a howitzer round. But nobody was talking about the fact that Ryan Shazier tried to go through that guy's head through his ear hole, helmet to helmet, and was on the Jumbotron in Cincinnati doing his little dance on the sidelines laughing about how funny he thought it was.
Okay, well, Antonio Brown's not with the Steelers anymore, so why don't you tell me what you think should happen in this situation?
The Pittsburgh Steelers have probably a couple of decades of getting cheap shots and bad calls before they're even in the karma scale. So you got bad blood
karma
with
scale.
Lots of people towards the Pittsburgh Steelers because they are dirty.
So in other words, you're not going to tell me what you think should happen with Myles Garrett. Is that what's happening here?
Everybody should get fined or suspended for today. I'm not excusing, dude, but what was Mason Rudolph doing running up to the station saying, give me my helmet back? Oh, okay, I'll put it back on you for you. Or do you have pictures of Mason Rudolph in your locker or something? You can't excuse this guy. He needs to be punished also. You can't try to rip a guy's helmet off, and you're talking as if he wouldn't get off of him. You're watching in slow-mo as if, well, he wouldn't get off of him. He's driving him into the ground. He's just sacked him. He tackled him.
Mm-hmm.
He sacked him.
And then he
Mason
wouldn't let
Rudolph
him get up, man. And then he wouldn't let him get up.
So Mason Rudolph, who's
But Eric, you do realize, of course, that was not something you would say to male radio host, right? Do I have pictures of Mason Rudolph in my locker? First of all, I don't have a locker. Second of all, the answer is no. And I appreciate you saying your piece, but I'm not sure that you want to bring that in a female radio host or any other female because that's disgusting. Let's talk to James, who's listening in Arizona. James, welcome to After Hours.
Thanks, Andy. Longtime listener. That last guy was a jack, but I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell you the truth. He should be
this guy should be suspended indefinitely. Let's call it what it is. And nobody's called it what it is. It's assault with a deadly weapon. Nobody has said anything about this. I mean, I remember in sixth grade, I got in a fight with a kid, and he got kicked while he was on the ground, and another kid almost got arrested for assault with a deadly weapon because he was wearing a shoe. If this was anything other than a football field, he would be in jail right now. Let's call it what it is. Other than that, I mean, I don't want to get into what should happen to Rudolph and all of those people because I'm not judge, jury, and execution or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is this dude hit somebody on the head trying to take his life. Or could have taken his life, period.
Well, I did mention that earlier, that if he hit him exactly the right way, he definitely could have killed him, could have knocked him out. So I understand what you're saying, and there are certainly situations in sports in the past. They're isolated situations, but some situations where athletes have crossed such lines egregiously that there have been charges added on top. I don't know that that's going to be the case here. Generally, what happens on a football field, the court, the ice, the leagues handle it. And I mean, I guess Mason Rudolph could, if he wanted to, attempt to file charges, but I don't think that that is how far this is going to go. It definitely was tempers running high and guys lost control of themselves. I mean, if you're going to say that about Myles Garrett, why not Maurkice Pouncey? He was punching another man and kicking him while he was down. So if the assault happened with the helmet, as you call the deadly weapon, then punching and kicking a man while he's down on the ground, that's also assault, right?
For sure. And you know what? It very well could be the same thing. I mean, I'm not to say about that, but when he actually made contact on the head with Rudolph, I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. I mean, in my eyes, at least, national TV, everyone's watching, children, families, you know, and it's okay for some guy to just grab a helmet off and could have broken his neck taking his helmet off, by the way. His chin strap was strapped.
Yeah, the whole thing was disgusting. I mean, the whole thing was a mess, and I'm sure that Mason Rudolph and Maurkice Pouncey and also Myles Garrett are going to wake up and I hope at some point have this moment like, holy crap. I mean, no one has anything to be proud of, that's for sure.
And I got this other thing. Okay, so I heard about this thing in AAA baseball. They had every single call, outs, strike, balls, all called by an eye in the sky. And after the game, the coaches, the players, everybody walked up to the umpires and was thanking them how good of a game it was. And once they were explained to what happened, how it was all called by an eye in the sky, everybody was shocked. I mean, have you guys heard anything about this or if it's going to go anywhere or anything like that?
The eye in the sky technology?
Yeah, basically. The whole game. Balls, strikes, outs, every, and they got every call right. Every call was right. And it was kind of shocking, you know, that they could possibly take the human element out of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you could do that with football. I don't even think you should do it with baseball. Certainly there have been other leagues who have tried the eye in the sky. It's technology that, you know, they've tried, they've experimented with, they've implemented. The NFL briefly considered it in the offseason, and then the competition committee decided it wasn't something that they wanted to do. James, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much for listening in Arizona. 855-212-4227. My friend Joe, who is in the Bay Area in San Francisco, says, Garrett shouldn't be back until 2021. That was assault. Miles started it with the late hit. Then Mason tried to pull his helmet off. Those two transgressions would be personal fouls. But swinging a helmet and hitting Mason in the head equals a long suspension. It reminded me of the longest yard. Let's see. Another tweet, a year minimum. Lou says longer than Albert Haynesworth, at least the rest of the season, especially if Mason Rudolph is discovered to have injuries following that hit. Phil, let's see, another tweet. MG, Myles Garrett will get 4 games. He'll appeal and lose. Trevor says should be out for the season. Pouncey should catch 2 to 3 games as well. JJ says indefinitely suspended. I'm going to stick with what I said at the beginning. I'm going to go with the 6 games, which would take Myles Garrett out the rest of the way. And I think Pouncey should be suspended 3 games, but I wouldn't be surprised if he got suspended more. To punch and kick, even if And he said he's willing to accept whatever suspension there is, even if you're trying to protect your guy. And there are other ways to do it. David DeCastro was the model of how to try to defuse the situation without throwing punches or doing anything at all that would draw a flag. So, yeah, I mean, Pouncey's going to get suspended too. And Myles Garrett, I don't think, will play again the rest of the year. But that's just my opinion. The NFL has got a lot of video to look at and probably interviews to do as well. 855-212-4227. We'll continue with your phone calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left. The Steelers are running from the sideline to join in. And this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
I'll keep my thoughts to myself. You guys saw what happened at the end.
You got no comment about it?
That's exactly what I said. I got no comment.
Have you ever seen anything like that at the end of a game?
No more questions regarding that, because I'm saying nothing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Tomlin had a lot to say when he was out on the field with Freddie Kitchens. This was as the melee is kind of breaking up and people are milling around, and the officiating crew is determining what's going on and trying to sort through everything. And Tomlin was very animated in speaking to Freddie Kitchens, not at Kitchens, but about what was happening. And I'm really anxious for a lip reader to decipher it. That's not my cup of tea, not my department, but I would love to know his real thoughts in the locker room after the game. It's one of those times, though, when, yes, what happens and what is said in the locker room needs to stay in the locker room. 855-212-4227, our toll-free line, brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Blake is listening in Ohio. Blake, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. So, a big Browns fan. I love the win. I love to watch him beat up on the Steelers, but that's not the way I really want to see him do it. I couldn't believe he hit him with his helmet, and then not only did he try, but he actually like made contact. But that's our that's our best defensive player that we have, and.
That's the part that sucks for the Browns, because, I mean, in addition to this being such a black mark, he's got 10 sacks and 2 forced fumbles, and he was a major reason why they stuffed the run tonight and why they put so much pressure on Mason Rudolph. I mean, if he's gone for any length of time, it severely cripples any designs that they have on making the postseason.
Yeah, I'd have to say he's got to be out for the season. If they did something like 4 games, I mean, I guess that would be really nice to see, but I don't see that happening. You know, I'm really surprised that these things, like, you know, the use of the helmet doesn't happen more often. You know, these are some really angry players out on the field all the time, and I know they fly off, and I'm just surprised it doesn't happen often.
Interesting. I mean, I've never seen that before. That type of ripping it off and smacking a guy with it. It's in the rule books, though, that you can't take off another player's helmet and hit him with it. You can't use it as a weapon, whether it's yours or someone else's. In fact, if you're on the field of play without your helmet, whether you take it off at the end of a play, it's a flag. I mean, you're not allowed to be out there without your helmet. The only time that it's not a flag of some sort is when it flies off accidentally, just because of the angle in which a guy gets hit. But yeah, there are all kinds of rules in the book about how you can and cannot use your helmet and how it has to stay on your head no matter what.
Right. And Miles, there's been a lot of around the league that he's like really soft, you know, and
really?
Yeah. So I think that kind of crosses that out of the mix. But
is that how you want him to prove it, Blake?
No, not at all. But why, you know, I can see, you know, Mason Rudolph's, you know, there's 8 seconds left in the game. They have no chance to win, and he's putting his whole body on him, you know. So I think that's what probably started that in the beginning. I mean, there's 8 seconds left. The game's over, mm-hmm. You know.
Agreed. I mean, it was a legit sack, but he kept him down on the ground. The whole thing just escalated wildly out of control. It's crazy. I still can't believe what we watched at the end of that game. Blake, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Dan, who's also in Cleveland, or who's in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Yeah, thanks. I've never called in before. I've listened a lot. I work second shift, so I catch you late night when I'm getting off work a lot.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. This game was, man, it was supposed to be such a celebration that, you know, we might be the only team to ever come back since 1970 and make the playoffs. And it's nothing like that because of what happened at the end, you know. And I don't forgive Freddie Kitchens because he's made a ton of mistakes. We shouldn't even be 2-6, or we shouldn't have never been 2-5, 2-6. But the things that happen all the time now with the Browns, I was thinking, you know, could this be the GM's fault? Because John Dorsey has brought in a ton of, you know, mal character type of players. Just because of their talent. Kareem Hunt had the video, and you know, in his defense, I love what Kareem Hunt said after the game. He was very professional. He very, you know, talks cheap, but he said the right things, and he, you know, he looked like he was disappointed in what happened.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt is certainly the least of the Browns' problems right now. He said he had a lot of time to think while he was away out of football, and I hope that's tempered him and changed some of his perspective. So just to clarify, are you saying that Coach Kitchens and the GM are responsible for the season as a whole, or do you're putting at their feet what happened at the end of this game?
Well, no, I think Coach Kitchens is responsible for the season. We should have more wins than we have now.
There's no shoulda. You are what your record says you are. And as much as Freddie Kitchens calls plays and all that jazz, it's the guys on the field who are committing nonstop penalties and making mistakes. And, I mean, everybody bears responsibility.
But there's been bad decisions by the coaching. They've run the shotgun 15 times. I don't want to go
Dan, nobody cares about that right now. So we'll talk about the football part another day. What do you think should happen to Myles Garrett?
Well, I think he should be done for the season. It was unacceptable. Everything he did was completely ridiculous. And it's obviously happened because it's in the rule book, but nobody can recall a time. Announcers, people that have been around the game forever can recall a time that they've seen this happen. And it's completely unacceptable. I mean, I don't care what a guy says to you. You beat him on the field. You got the defense destroyed Pittsburgh today or last night. You know, and you end it like that. It's terrible. You know, it should be a celebration here, like I said at the beginning. And all the focus is going to be on that ridiculous ending that should have never got there.
Yeah,
somebody can say anything they want to me, you know, or to anybody else. You're a grown adult. You have to learn to brush that off and to move on. And yeah, we beat you on the field. That's all the talk we need. We don't need to smack people in the head with helmets. It's completely erroneous. It's ridiculous.
All right, Dan. I appreciate your phone call, especially for the first time. I have to let you go because we're at the bottom of the hour, but thanks so much for listening. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I'm doing my best to keep up with your tweets and your Facebook posts. I'll try to share some of those. And Freddie Kitchens, if you haven't heard what he had to say after the game, I respect him even more after what I heard him say post-game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mayfield under center. Landry motions tight. Here's Mayfield back to pass. Baker looking, got a man wide open in the end zone with a flag down. Touchdown, Landry! But there is a flag. And we'll wait.
Illegal use of hands, hands to face, defense.
And it's a touchdown.
He's declined. So the play is a touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I would sound like a total fool if I sat here and talked about the actual game, the success of Cleveland, including the run game. What they've been able to do with Kareem Hunt, how Baker Mayfield led a couple of key touchdown drives, and how stifling the defense was. Incredible defensive display, especially when the Steelers were on third and fourth down, a combined 2 for 14. That was the success rate, and a lot of it was short yardage stuff. 4 sacks of Mason Rudolph, only 3.7 yards per play, only 236 total yards. 4 interceptions, except that is not even close to moving the needles on this show or any of the shows that you will hear on Friday, as well as any of the TV coverage. And even asking our guest, did anybody talk about football in the locker rooms after the game? And Ray Fittipaldo from Cleveland said no. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Normally, as we morph into a Football Friday, we're talking about the games coming up. And I tweeted this just as I was coming into the studio to get ready here after the previous show vacated. You can prep and prep and prep. You can take notes. You can get ready. I did all of that. I even have a list of other topics I want to hit, like Carmelo Anthony having another opportunity to play basketball with the Portland Trail Blazers, like Kristaps Porzingis getting booed mercilessly in New York, like Nick Foles returning in week number 11. There's so many other things that I could be talking about tonight. The Major League Baseball MVP awards, even for the Browns, Antonio Callaway getting cut by the team and facing another suspension. None of that is working its way into this particular show. So yeah, football brawl like no other turns the sports world upside down. And that's essentially where we're spending the show. But I'm glad that we're in the immediacy just hours after it happened. Now, coming up on Sunday, if anybody cares, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader week 11 featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic QBs in the sport, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Also in the AFC North, welcome to Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, followed by New England, bracing for another tough road game in Philly. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I don't know if you were watching Twitter in the wake of the game, but the post from Patrick Mahomes got a funny reaction from his linebacker, from a Chiefs linebacker, Reggie Ragland. So Mahomes says, "Bro, I can't believe that just happened." And Ragland quotes his tweet and says, "If that's Pat, gone ahead and cancel Christmas." Now I just want to use that phrase, gone ahead and cancel Christmas. Just think about it. If you're not a Browns or Steelers fan, but you're a fan of another team, could you imagine this happening with, say, the Kansas City Chiefs, or with the Texans and Deshaun Watson, or with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, who's smaller, right? I think in most cases, you would see other players rush to the defense of their quarterback or rush to the defense of their linebacker in the case, or linebacker defensive end in the case of Myles Garrett. But these two guys take it completely to the extremes. David DeCastro is trying to get in the middle, and he ends up falling on Garrett eventually after the helmet hit to the head. But the Marquise Pouncey, he just goes ballistic. He says he blacked out. He's never been so angry. And so he starts punching and kicking Garrett while he's on the ground. I did see a lot of players, former players mostly, indicating that they hope Marquise Pouncey gets no discipline because he was defending his quarterback. And I don't think that the NFL is going to see it that way. I could be wrong. I don't think they're much about protecting your guys if it goes to the extremes like it did. So we've got a poll up on Twitter and Facebook about the number of games that Myles Garrett should serve as a suspension. And I'm going with 6. I don't think he should play the rest of the year. I think that Marquise Pouncey should serve 3. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 4, but I would say 3. I think Mason Rudolph gets fined for sure. But the NFL, they have a lot to consider before we get those decisions. 855-212-4227. Brian is in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi. So, first of all, as a Cleveland fan, I am disappointed in what went on out on the field today. Am I mad? No. I mean, I get it. Emotions, adrenaline, everything that's, you know, going on the field. And he's an imperfect human being. Like, things like that do happen. It's about how you overcome it and deal with the situation afterwards. But as far as him swinging the helmet at the quarterback, was the quarterback injured? I didn't.
Are you asking me a legit question, or are you being a smartass?
Yes, was he injured? I didn't get to hear anything about what had happened.
According to Mason, he's fine. I wouldn't be surprised if they put him through concussion testing, though, just to be sure.
So, no, I would think that would play a factor in what his suspension would be. I mean, like, could something bad have happened? Yes. Did it? No.
So why? Why, Brian? Why should that play a role in how long he's out?
Because if he had injured the guy seriously, that should be taken seriously. He attempted to do something.
So it shouldn't be serious otherwise?
No, I mean, it's a serious situation. I'm just saying that I would if he was injured seriously, I would handle it in a whole different way than as it looked like a fight, you know?
So then let me ask you this. Demaryius Randall has a helmet-to-helmet hit on Deontay Johnson after Johnson's already stopped. There's another defender in there. And Johnson not only is so woozy he can't lift up his head, but he's bleeding out of his ear. So in your opinion, is that worse then because of what happened to Johnson because he was knocked out of the game and he was bleeding?
No, I don't feel that is because that's a part of the game that's – things like that could happen. I mean, people have broke their legs. I mean, was it on purpose? No.
Okay. So you just said, though, in this situation, because it's not part of the game, that the results, the health of Mason Rudolph should factor into Myles Garrett's suspension.
I would say so. But with Marquise Pouncey, he was the one that was kicking Myles Garrett, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or it looked like, I was watching on my phone at work, so I couldn't really see exactly, but it looked like he was stomping. He was trying to stomp him, which, I mean, the guy's wearing cleats. So, I mean, that right there is, I would feel, is just as bad as what Myles Garrett attempted to do, regardless of if he was trying to come to the defense of his quarterback. Like, I get it. You want to protect your teammate, but, you know, that just what Myles Garrett did was excessive. What he did was excessive, and I would think that whatever happens to Garrett equally should happen to Pouncey as well.
All right, and we'll see if the NFL agrees with that.
Thank you.
All right, Brian, good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. I do not agree that Mason Rudolph not being injured, at least let's hope he's not. Sometimes concussions can take a little bit longer to show up, and he did have a concussion earlier in the season on a hit from Earl Thomas. I don't think that should play any role. I mean, granted, if if something more serious had happened to Mason, let's say he was knocked out, the optics might make it seem like it was more serious, but the fact is something could have, something could have happened, and Garrett is still the one slinging the helmet at a man who's not wearing a hat or anything on his head. Yeah, I don't know that Mason Rudolph being upright and saying he's okay afterwards should factor in. That's my opinion. Joseph is listening in Oregon. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Well, I do have to say I do like the idea of Melo coming to the Moda. Definitely, you know, should bring some good things. But let's talk about this. These are professionals, okay? We should be holding them to a high standard. The Garrett, I'm on Bates with you. I'm on Paige. I think he shouldn't play for the rest of the regular season just because, it's like you said, imagine if Rudolph got cut or he was bleeding from his head. Then the league should definitely be looking into that of, well, should we definitely suspend him more than just the 6 games? Should we even carry the suspension on to the next season? Or, you know, I want to know what your take is on that, because I'm on page with that. Not only he's a quarterback, but he's a defenseless player with a hat off. It's like, come on.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think 6 games. I don't think he should play the rest of the year. And I think that sends a very serious message from the NFL. And I was going back to the Albert Haynesworth, which, you know, that was a very marquee moment for the NFL. And it was at the time in 2006, it was the most lengthy suspension that the NFL had handed down. And it may still be for a behavioral situation on the field, right? So not for something that happened off the field, for stomping on Andre Girard's head. Richie Incognito got a 3-game suspension a few years ago. He was slinging a helmet and hit a guy as well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, it should be 6 games. I don't know that it should carry over into next year. That to me seems excessive, but we'll see. And I think Maurkice Pouncey should be suspended for multiple games as well.
Incorrect. And I just want to finish with this. That, yeah, I understand that these guys are, you know, playing at a high level, high performance game here. But like you said, you know, everyone should be taken accountable. I don't agree with the callers though, saying how, you know, Rudolph was fine, and you know, if he was more injured, then I could see the penalty going further with Garrett. But regardless, I think the professionals, they should be conducting themselves at a professional level. And even if, you know, you're in the moment in the game, doing that kind of activity shouldn't be acceptable.
Yeah, and the game was winding down. There was no way the Steelers were going to win. It was, what, a 3rd and 25 or something like that? I mean, it was ridiculous. The game, the tempers should have been cooled off by then. Joseph, thank you so much for your call in Oregon. Gosh, I have to write a CBS Sports Minute. How do I pack my opinions into 50 seconds? That seems like it's rather short. Usually it seems like it's a lot to write. So you're weighing in on Facebook as well as on our Twitter page, After Hours CBS. There's a poll up. Love to hear from you. We've got 2 hours to go. It's a Football Friday, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.